joy, the special music. It really puts you in a place that we can appreciate and listen to the Word of God. Hopefully it gets you to a place spiritually where you're ready for the sermon that God has for us today. So I want you to turn in your Bible back to Matthew chapter 26. If you remember, we're going all the way from Gethsemane, where we've seen the great agony of the Lord, where words like very heavy, the Lord was very heavy. He was sore amazed. He was exceedingly sorrowful. The Bible talks about how he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And we've seen that agony in the garden as he's getting ready to take the cup that is filled with the sins of the world. And I can tell you, I can think of my own sins and how disgusting a lifetime of sins of just one person, how disgusting they are. And yet in that cup was the sins of all of the world. And not only just the sins, but the wrath of God towards that sin. He must be willing to take that cup. And he said, nevertheless, though he felt all that pressure on his being 100%, not just God, but 100% man, feeling all those pressures we would feel, he said, not my will, but thine will be done. And he suffered that great agony in the garden, willing to take that cup for you and I. And then we look as Judas came, as he's leading a mob in the torches in the middle of the night, and he came and he kissed Jesus on the cheek, and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And we talked a little bit about how sometimes there's Judases in the bunch, and how sometimes that people sell out Jesus for much less than just 30 pieces of silver. But I'm glad we got a God that allows us to repent today. And if we see our wicked ways and we go to him, there was hope for Judas. Judas had an opportunity. God gave him an opportunity, called him friend. And yet he decided he's going to continue to follow the crowd, and he lost his soul to a devil's hell. And then we looked as Jesus was bound, and they took him to the first trial. He's going to face two trials, and the first was that Jewish trial. And we looked at that trial. We seen that it was a kangaroo court. They already had their minds made up. They had a predetermined judge. They had a preselected jury, and they paid off liars to condemn the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked how those men represent the lost of the world. And certainly they do. That's how the lost of the world treat the Lord Jesus Christ. They lie about him. They must lie, or they would condemn themselves. And then today we're going to look, before they lead him off to the Roman court, there's a situation that's happening outside that we want to look at today. It's Peter. If we could go back in our mind's eye, we would see Peter as he's following the Lord afar off. And he comes and he settles among this group of people outside of the palace of the high priest. And we're going to see what happens today. And here we've seen how the lost people would come and how they would treat Jesus and arrest Jesus and take him and lie and all those types of things. But today we see somebody that represents Christians, and how sometimes, if we are not careful, that even we can deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a story for us today, how that we have to be very careful, and we want to look into that. And so please stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse number 69. We'll read on down to verse number 75. Again, that's Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse number 69. And if you could imagine in your mind what is taking place. And it says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, we're talking about Peter. He denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Now we'll fill in a little bit of those spots as it's listed in the other Gospels as well, and see the full picture tonight, how if we're not very, or this morning, how we're not very careful, that we can find ourselves in that very same place. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the message. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the stories in the Word of God. that are not just stories to be entertained, be entertaining to us, but are stories that we can learn from. More than just stories, they're the very words of God. They're your words placed for a purpose in Scripture to attend to the hearts of men. And I pray, Lord, today that through the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit would take and make things very personal. Lord, we need you. We need you to speak to our hearts. We need you to open up understanding, to break down walls. We need you, Lord, to bring even the best of us to a place that we can be better used by you. Lord, for Christ's glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to look at three things here about Peter. I want to see Peter's rejection as he rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see Peter's repentance, and then I want to see Peter's restoration. So let's first look at Peter's rejection. Now this is amazing to me, I mean, when you think about it, because who are we speaking about? We're not just speaking about one of the disciples, but we are speaking about the most predominant disciple above all of them. He's one of the three, and he's the leader of the three. When you look at Peter, I mean, he is at the top of the Christian chain. You know what I mean? And so I look at him that had been with Jesus all of this time, Peter that walked with Jesus for all this time, and yet we find him in a place that he's going to betray, or he's going to deny, I should say, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to begin by saying this. If Peter can do it, so can you. If Peter can backslide, so can you. And I will even go a little step farther. That all of us at sometimes do. All of us at sometimes backslide, at least to a certain point. If we're not careful, we may fall completely away. Now here, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, it happens as I look at this passage of Scripture in three different stages. And I want to look where it began. Where do you think? How did this all begin with Peter? Where did it start? How did this happen where we see Peter following the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the point that he would deny Jesus three times? Now, in my mind, when I read the Scripture, the very first step of his falling away that led to his rejection was because of this. Because of Peter's pride. I'm going to tell you, that's a big thing. And I hope in some way that the Lord can really bring this down to your heart, because He needs to. Because I'm telling you, that's where it starts. Where falling away starts. It starts with the pride of man. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs number 16 and verse number 18, you know this verse. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So do you know how people fall? How it begins? It begins with their pride. That's many different ways. Pride. Well, I deserve more. That's pride. Well, I'm not being treated right. And people will get upset and they'll fall away because of, not because they're not being treated right. Do you think it's worthy for any of us to fall away? Is there any good excuse to fall away from the church and to fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no good excuse. But when I start looking at others, and this happens, it happens all the time. I can tell you people that are falling away and that have fallen away, they'll point to others to excuse the decision that they've made about not coming to church, about not following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know where that begins? It begins with their pride. Oh, be careful. Because it can happen to any one of us at any given time. This is where it starts. You begin to slide away little by little, and all of your excuses will evolve around that word. Well, I got hurt. I don't deserve this. You can make any excuse, and it's what you're really saying is, I deserve better than this. I deserve to be treated better than this. Whatever it is, but it goes down, when you boil it all down, it comes to that word, it comes to pride. Now, Peter had some pride. If you look at Matthew chapter 26, in verse number 33, look what it said. As Jesus tells Peter, listen, all of you are going to run away. You're going to deny me tonight. And Peter said in verse number 33, he answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended. Here's a different type of pride, but it's pride. If all men, now that's good to have confidence, amen. We sung about the choir, the first song, talk about how we have confidence. But why do we have confidence? We have confidence because we're standing on the rock. We don't have confidence in ourselves, but I have confidence. I'm following the Lord, and the Lord's going to take care of it. And I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a confidence, a great confidence in my Christian walk, not in my power, but in the power of the Lord. But we don't see that here with Peter. Now, Peter loves the Lord, doesn't he? And he has good intentions, but I can tell you that's not enough. Yeah, you may love the Lord, and you may be convinced that, listen, I will never fall away. But you better be careful. Because we can see in our own pride, many times, that's where that comes from. That's the source of it. And if that's the source of our confidence, then it's just a matter of time, my friend, that you are going to fall away. Here, Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. But Peter said, I don't care who does what and who runs. I will never fall away. Lord, I am never going, I have got this handled. You ever come across anybody that said those words? I've heard that many, many times from those that have eventually fallen away. They'll say, well, I'll miss a little church, I'll do a little sin, I'll miss around a little. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Kenny, you don't have to worry about it. I know you've come to warn me, but I tell you, I've got this handled. I'm not going to fall away. I'm going to tell you, you're on your way to denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, there's not anything that ever make me to go back to my old sinful ways. I can handle it. Here's what Peter said in Matthew 14, 31. He spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. I will die before I will deny you. I like that his confidence, but his confidence is in the wrong place. The Bible says in Luke 22, 33, because we see Peter really thought, I've got this handled. I see that often with people that we're trying to help. They come to a certain point and they say, I've got this handled. Peter said this in Luke 22, 33. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Whatever happens, I'll go to prison, Lord. I'll go to death. It wasn't just a few hours later and we see the true Peter. We see the battle against the flesh. How many times I've heard those words of those that have fallen away. Oh, I'll be there, Brother Kenny. You can count on me. I'll do anything. I'll endure anything. The pastor warned you. You say, I've got this handled. Here's the problem. Peter did not know his heart. He didn't really understand his flesh very well because the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. We know the Bible tells us that. You know, Peter never dreamed that he would deny the Lord Jesus three times. He didn't believe it at all. I'd never do that. Now, who are we talking about again? This is not just some chump that's on the sidelines of Christianity. This is the leader of the 12. The one that has one of the greatest responsibilities in the church. This was him. And yet he did not understand. He had no idea how sinful and how wicked he could be. We must be constantly aware of this. Not to produce doubt, but to make sure that our confidence of striving. Now listen, when things get going, my friend, when you get going in your Christian walk, boy, I hope some of you need to get going. And when you get going in your Christian walk, it doesn't get easier. The battle gets rougher. And I'm telling you, you better understand where your faith and where your strength lies. Because when things get rolling, the devil's going to attack. The devil's going to provide opportunities for you to stray away. And you're going to be tempted to tell somebody when you make a wrong decision, don't worry, Brother Kenny, I've got this handled. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking with Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it's that first decision, that bad decision that you've been warned of, that's going to lead you down the wrong path. And it all begins with your pride. pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. We must be careful with our pride. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth, I think I stand. I'm standing on the rock. And that's good if your faith is in the Lord. But let him, the Bible says, thinketh him that thinketh he standeth, take heed that you listen real carefully, lest he fall. That's what the Bible says. Over and over we have this instruction. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low. So when you get all proudful and you say, well, look, somebody else is doing it over there, and somebody else doing this, and I don't care. Listen, your walk is between you and the Lord. It's not about you and somebody else. It's about you and the Lord. Stop pointing fingers at somebody else. Stop trying to excuse the decision that you want to make that's wrong. And just beware. Because when you think that you stand, and you're filled with pride, a man's pride shall bring him low. But, listen to this next word. Honor, shall uphold the, here's another word, the humble in spirit. The opposite of pride is humility. Let me tell you what will cause you to be strong in the Lord. It's not your pride. It's your, you know that what that word means? Humility. Let that sink in. The Bible says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. You're going to fall if you exalt yourself. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We've got to be very careful that we're not lifted up in pride. That was the very beginning. Our confidence must always rely on the strength of God. That's the key of successful Christian living. So it started with Peter's pride. He wasn't strong enough. Peter wasn't strong enough, was he? He wasn't smart enough. He thought he was, but he wasn't. He wasn't brave enough. I'll go with you to prison, Lord. I will die for you. But he found out he wasn't brave enough. And so it began with his fear, or it began with his pride. And then we find out in verse number 58, the Bible says he followed afar off. Can you see Peter there? They arrest Jesus, and we see him in the distance. Now listen, this is what happens, and this is another stage, another step that can cause people to fall away and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what they will do. They will follow Christ from afar off. You say, what are you meaning, Brother Kenny? Well, just like Peter, where should have Peter been? Right there with Jesus. That's where he should have been. But because of fear, because of his pride that began with pride, and pride often will lead you to a place where fear will come and fill your soul. Fear drove him. He was worried about what? What may happen to him. He was worried if he followed Christ, what they may do to him. What they may think about him. And you know why he was worried about that? This is very important. You know why he was in that place? Because he was following Christ. Listen to this. Even though he was sincere to himself, he loved the Lord, he was following Christ in his flesh, not in his spirit. I don't even know how to, I try to bring this up on a regular basis in most messages because it's so important for the Christian to understand. We must walk in the Spirit. Because the Bible says, and the Bible is very clear, let me find the verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. A Christian that's walking in the Spirit will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will go to prison. We've seen that over and over with the Apostle Paul. We see his willingness to die, his willingness to go into prison, never deterring him. Why? What's the difference? Peter hasn't learned something yet that many Christians need to learn. This thing called Christianity is about a person. It's not a religion. It's not about the dogma of this church. And doctrine of this church is important. But the premier thing about Christian is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following Him. Letting His Spirit lead and guide you. And a man that is led by the Spirit of God has no fear. He's humbled. He's not filled with pride. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you, and I believe this true. Now, you could think in your own mind whether it is or not. I believe there's a lot of Christians that are following Jesus afar off. Not real close to Him. And for different reasons, pride, it begins with pride, and pride will eventually lead to fear. But some don't want to get too close to Jesus. They will call themselves and they'll act like a Christian in this group right here. And it's easy to act like a Christian here, right? You come over to my house, it's easy to act like a Christian. To talk like one, to act like one. To talk about Christ openly and freely. You have no fear about that when you come over to my house or the house of some others in this church. But then you get around other people. People at school, people at work, friends, and other family. You know, it's my belief, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that many Christians never share Jesus with those around them. You know why? Because of fear. They're afraid of what other people may think about them or what other people may do. Maybe you have some co-workers that you've never in your entire life handed a gospel tract. They don't even know that you are a Christian. Maybe you have friends and family or students in school that don't even know that you are born again. You've never confessed to them, "Listen, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." That you shouldn't even have to confess. Because a genuine Christian that's walking where they need to be with Jesus, it's obvious to everybody. Everybody sees it. The lost and the saved see it. Everyone knows that you're walking with Jesus. I remember when I was saved, got right with God, I'd go to church, and I tell you this often because it was not long, and my nickname became Preacher. There's the I wasn't a preacher. I never had any thoughts of being a preacher. But here, because I'm following Christ, I didn't have to say a word, though I did. People knew that I was next to Christ. Oh, we could backslide at any time, but what I'm saying, a Christian that is doing what they need to be doing, everyone knows you're there, but so often. I believe somebody said it this way, if a Christian, an average Christian, was taken to court for being a Christian, there'd be too little evidence to convict him. And I wonder if that's not true. So many fall off because of fear. Do you? I'm afraid of looking like a fool. Get over that. I'm going to preach a message sometime. I've been thinking about it for a while. You ought to be a fool for Jesus. The Bible says you will be a fool in the eyes of the world if you're following Christ. Some of you a football fan, a basketball fan, you'll wear a big old pig nose and yell pig suey in front of the camera with a big smile on your face and afraid to carry your Bible to work. There's something wrong with that, right? I'm going to tell you, it's easy for us at times to deny Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, let him become a fool, speaking about us, that we may be wise. That we may be wise with the world, with God, and following Him. But sinners sometimes, well, here's the next thing, and this happens so often. In the next part, in verse number 69, we see that that Peter follows afar off, and then the next thing you see is he's sitting with the sinners. In verse number 69, look what it says. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 69, the Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace. Now, if you look over to Luke chapter 22 and verse number 55, it gives us a little bit clearer picture. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 55, or 23 and verse 55, or 22 in verse number 55, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, that's all the world, all those that went and arrested Jesus and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Oh, bad choice. We're talking about what brought Peter to this place. Well, it began with his pride. And then that pride led to fear. And now we see him sitting with sinners. Those that had just mocked Jesus. Those that had just arrested Jesus, condemned him, and soon would crucify him. Now, if you could think for just a minute. When you sit with the world, what kind of conversation are you hearing? I mean, come on now. You that work over there in different places and you get the world around you and you sit around people of the world. I mean, what are they talking about? Boy, shameful things. Oh, it's terrible sometimes what they're talking about. Many of them could care less about. Am I telling you the truth? The world cares less about Jesus Christ. Some of your family, some of your friends and neighbors. They could care less about Jesus Christ. Listen to their horrible conversation. Now remember, Peter has good intentions. Why is he there? He's there because he wants to see what happens to Jesus. Right? What I'm saying is Peter has good intentions for sitting down with the people of the world. And it was a great mistake. Though he had good intentions, it does not matter. He thought everything would be all right. He thought that he could handle it. You see himself warming himself by their fire? What should Peter be saying and doing? I mean, think about it. If Peter walked up in that crowd, what do you think he should be saying? What do you think that Peter should be doing? Certainly he's not just going to sit down with the crowd and not tell them who Jesus Christ is. If he was walking in the Spirit of God, he'd be bold as a lion. But here we see him meek as a mouse. Because even though he's got good intentions, he's doing it in his own strength. And yet because of fear, he sits down with the same people that are there that are trying to crucify and mock and arresting the Lord. That's the world. And do you know what happens to Peter? The Bible says soon he begins to act just like them. He didn't change their mind, did he? No, but they changed him. That's what's going to take place. The world's crowd will gobble you up. Bad company has caused many to sin. There's been people, I've seen people try to get right. They hang around old friends and old family that don't love the Lord, and they cannot handle it. Now, there'll be a time when you're walking in the Spirit, you'll learn how to walk as a Christian, that you can be around some family members and you can handle it. But let me tell you, it takes some maturity. Because people have an effect on you. You know that. You know when you get around other people, they have an effect on you. You're worried about what they think, say, and do. That's what happens. Be not deceived. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he's talking to you. Be not deceived. I don't want you to be fooled. Be not deceived. Evil communications. That's the world talk, sitting with the world. Corrupt good manners. That's you. It corrupts good Christians. You run with the wrong people, you will deny Jesus. Teenagers, remember that. You run with the wrong crowd. Well, Mama, we're just going down to the creek to have a little fun. And they're talking about things. They're not there honoring Jesus. Come on now. They're not there honoring Jesus. No, sir. Somebody pulls out a Bud Dummer and chases it down with something else. Pulls out a little bit of weed and begins to smoke it, swimming half naked. It's not about Jesus. You say, I can handle it. I can sit with sinners. You better listen to me, parents. No, they cannot. The world will gobble them up. They'll gobble you up. Oh, I can handle it. I can be around these friends, drink a little Bud Dummer. He doesn't know you can. You're a fool. You can't handle it. You are not all right. You are backslidden. You need to get right. Come on now. I'm telling you the truth. You need to listen. You know why? I want you to be a warrior for Christ. I want you to live a life that will bring a life of blessing, a life of honor that will glorify Jesus. That's the life you are born to live. That Peter's lifted up in pride, it led to fear, it caused him to follow afar off, and he soon sat with sinners, which quickly led to the denial of his Lord and Savior. We see he denies Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 69. And the Bible says, and now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. You know what he first did in his denial? The first thing he did, he pleaded ignorance. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, people do that. They plead ignorance. You a Jesus follower? Oh, they want to change the subject. They want to play dumb. You know what I mean. People, you're challenged. You're in a group of people. And you know you ought to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even if the topic even begins to swerve that way, you just play dumb. You want to change the subject, ignore what is happening, hoping it all go away. There are some Christians playing dumb with their family, with their friends. They act differently. Come on, can I tell you something? When you go to a restaurant and you're getting ready to eat your steak dinner, or maybe it's a Big Mac at McDonald's, and you're there and there comes the food and you just begin to gobble. Now, if you was home, you'd pray for it. But not among these people, because I don't want to look like a fool. You know what you're doing? You're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you something. You're a Christian. You're to say grace. Amen. We've learned that from an early child. It's not like it's commanded, but we know that's the practice that we have to honor God. There are biblical principles and that we don't want to violate, and we do that to honor God. And then you get someplace and you have a wonderful opportunity to bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for this Big Mac. I don't know how you can do that, but you can do that. Lord, I think I know it's probably going to kill me, but I thank you for this Big Mac. And Lord, I want to praise you in front of all these people. If there's any sinners here, I pray, Lord, that you'd send somebody to tell them of their wicked ways. They may get saved, not go to hell. Amen. You have a wonderful opportunity, but it's hard for you to even say a simple prayer because you're afraid of what other people may think. God has not given me the spirit of bondage and the spirit of fear. No, God has given me a spirit of boldness and love to preach the gospel, to follow Him, no matter what the situation is. But here we see he denies Jesus by pleading ignorance. And then in verse 71 and 72, look what it says. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also with Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I wonder what Peter's thinking now. He just denied, he tried to change the subject, but it followed him down. And there he is, and another one comes. You are also with Jesus of Nazareth. Now, what should have Peter said? You better believe I am. He's innocent. He is the very Son of God. You'll stand before Him one day in the great white throne judgment as a father ascends the throne. That's what he should have said. Or something like that. He's the Savior of the world. He came to save you from your sins. The one that you're lying, you're liars. That's what he should have said. But again, he denied this time. He just doesn't ignore it. That didn't work. Now he denies it with an oath. And he says, I do not know the what. The man. Is Jesus just a man? No, sir. Oh, we sometimes play down our Christianity. Here he denies him with an oath. Are you a Christian? He says, I swear I'm not. Now, some of you would never say that. You'd never swear you're not a Christian. But you do other things. You get around your best friend. Would you ever deny your best friend? I mean, think about it. There's your best friend, loves you, been your friend your whole life. You get somebody starts talking smack about your best friend. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. And somebody starts talking bad and evil about your wife or a husband. Would you defend them? Oh, certainly you would. I mean, I think most all of you would. But at the same time, many will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine this? Your family comes over to dinner. Your family comes over to dinner. Oh, they don't care nothing about Jesus. But they're your family, and you want to be a good witness to them. In their family, you got to have family over. They come over, and they're going to sit around the dinner table, and you don't even pray. Wait a minute, the family comes over. And they're visiting, and stepmama's there. God help you. And you need some strength to get through. And it comes time for church. Glory to God, it's time for church. I get to go to church. But because the family's there, yes, I think I'll just stay home. Because you're more worried about them than him. Come on now, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. I remember being a young Christian, had to get over some of these things. Let me tell you, you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll deny you before I'll deny Him. God help me. That ought to be our spirit based upon the strength that He gives us. Then we see He denies Him with an oath. And then Then he denies by cursing. If that's not enough, in verse number 73, after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. They noticed because of his speech was different than their speech. And I understand some people say, well, he had a speech that come from that area where he was born, and it was different, and they knew that Jesus came from that area, and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to tell you something. A Christian's speech is different than that of the world. Amen. That's true. It ought to be. Your speech, how you talk and how you dress and how you act is different if you're following Christ than the world. True? That is true. That's how it is. We should look like and sound like Christians. Instead, many want to look and act like the world, and when they do, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he hangs around them. He begins to act like them. He begins to cuss like a sailor. Can you hear him? Man, it's amazing. I'm shocked. You see Peter swearing as he denies the Lord. Do you see that? What words are he saying? I don't know. They're not good ones. They're swear words. And I'm going to tell you something. Now you listen. You can condemn me later if you want to, or a tomato if you got one. Swearing is an obvious sign you're backslidden. Help me out now. I'm telling you the truth. Swearing, you know what I mean. Cuss words are an obvious sign you're backslidden. It was for Peter, right? Hey, wait a minute. This guy, they left him alone after that. Oh, he can't be a Christian. He's swearing like that. It's the same way for you and I. Yeah. And sometimes we do that to fit in with the world. I can tell you this for certain. You're backslidden. Peter did what he thought he never would have done. Oh, he said, Lord, I'll go to jail with you. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. But here we see Peter denies. Now, let's look quickly at Peter's repentance. I mean, I want to start out and tell you something about this. When you're in this spot, you need some help. Because on your own, you're probably going to fall deeper. You understand what I'm saying? When a person backslides, often they need some help. And if they don't receive the help, they're going to backslide even farther. And so the Lord sent Peter some help. What did he say that would happen when he denied him three times? What would happen? Oh, yes, sir, that rooster would start to crow. And that would remind him of what? God's Word. Oh, yes, sir. And I thought about that. Isn't that the truth? When you look at the restoration, or you look at the repentance that needed, people need some help. They need a rooster in their life. God has some roosters in your life. You got one up here right now. He's trying to help you. Trying to be a rooster for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be somebody's rooster. To warn somebody. You that are spiritual when they're in danger, that we need to try to wake them up. Isn't that a rooster's job? Is to wake people up. We need people to crow like a rooster. Nathan was David's rooster. You could look all through the Bible. Elijah was a rooster to Ahab. We need pastors and parents and other Christians to crow like roosters to the rebellious so that we can help them and the sinful. They need warning long before they need comfort. Amen. Now you sympathetic at heart, listen to me. God may be trying to warn somebody here. There may be a rooster crowing in your life. Stop sinning. Oh, listen to the preacher. That rooster is a grace of God. He sent it twice to Peter when you look at Mark 14:72. Twice the rooster crowed. Warning Peter. There's a warning there. Wake up! Turn around! Now let me tell you, when the rooster crows, listen to me carefully. Because in your pride, you know what you're going to want to do? Kill the rooster. The rooster's going to crow. Hey, you've got some sin in your life. You need to straighten up, buddy, for you fall. And you have the rooster trying to help you. And in your pride, you're going to want to take the shotgun out and kill the rooster. You ever heard a rooster crow early in the morning? Ooh, you're tired. You hear the rooster crow. It's not even daylight. Can't you wait 30 more minutes? It's not daylight yet. You know why? Because you're tired in your flesh, right? And you don't want to get up and get out of bed. Spiritually speaking, it's the same. Sin will cause you to be tired in your flesh, and you will not want to get up out of bed. And that rooster is crowing. Pastor's warning you. Listen, stop missing church. Stop dabbling in sin and listen. Don't kill the rooster. Don't say this. Don't say this. Don't say, I got this handled. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'll only fall so far. I've got this handled. A little bud dumber not going to hurt me. A little weed not going to hurt me. A little bit of this and a little bit of that's not going to hurt me. Sitting down here with the world's not going to hurt me. I'm going to tell you, you're prideful. And the Bible says, what about pride? Pride goeth before what? Destruction. A haughty spirit before what? A fall. Oh, it's the humble in heart that receive the crows of the rooster. We were going to respond in one of two ways when the rooster crows, in pride or humility. In pride, you'll begin to make all the excuses of why you're doing what you're doing. And here's what it will lead to. The excuses will come. And then you know what will be next? Are you listening to me? What will be next? I'll tell you exactly what's going to be next. I've heard it millions of times. The excuses will come, and then the accusations will come. It begins with excuses, and it then leads to accusations about other people as you try to justify your position. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You can get mad and pull out the shotgun and blast the rooster. You can leave the church and leave your family, and you can cause a great fall, or you can listen. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse number 8. Let me read you a couple of verses here. The Bible says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Somebody that's, they're bitter. You know, as soon as he goes to, they're not going to take it. And he's going to rebuke thee. But a wise man, you go rebuke a wise man, the Bible says he will love thee. There's a difference between pride and humility. Amen. You look at chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You look at verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. That's what's going to come, a great fall. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored, the Bible says. When you look over here, let me one more verse in chapter 29 and verse number 1 of the book of Proverbs. The Bible says this. He that being often reproved. You know what that means? The rooster's been crowing for a long time. Get right. Get on the right path. Stop this. Do this. The rooster's been crowing for a long time. He that being often reproved. Did you get that? You getting that? It's the Word of God. Hardeneth his neck. He refuses. He refuses. He refuses. What happens? He hardens his neck. You know, I ain't going to take that no more. Shall suddenly... Suddenly. When's it going to happen? Suddenly. One day your wife's going to come home, she's going to leave you. One day some disastrous thing's going to happen. Someday the chastening rod of God's going to come down. Suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I don't know what all that means, but I'm a little worried about it. That's the Word of God. You keep killing the rooster, and soon you're going to deny the Lord. Your pride will lead you to fear. You'll sit with the world. And then the world will gobble you up and you'll act like the world. But when Peter heard the rooster, you know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22 in verse number 60? Listen to what it says. Luke 22 and verse number 60. And Peter said, man, I don't know what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned. He was coming out of the palace of the high priest at that very time. Do you think that was coincidental? No, sir. This is the timing of the Lord. He comes out on that porch as that cock is crowing, and then the Bible says, and looked upon Peter. He looked. Right when that happened, he looked over at Peter. Peter looked over at him. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Praise the Lord, Peter. Praise the Lord. That was the proper response. God came out from them steps, looked on Peter, and you know what happened to Peter's heart? Think about it for a minute. Conviction. overwhelming conviction filled the heart of Peter when the Lord looked upon him. Oh, thank God for that. God fills your heart. I can't do that. I don't have it within me to do things that will make you feel guilty on the inside. I mean, I can talk a little bit and explain a little bit of things, and that may in a little bit open the door and cause a little bit of conviction, but not like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and whew, He's talking about me. Oh man, what a grace of God that is. God's speaking to your heart. And then Peter remembered the words in verse number 70. He remembered what the Lord had said, that He was going to deny him. He was looking upon the bloody Savior, and conviction flooded his soul. Repentance. Repentance when he remembered his words. Repentance came when the Savior looked upon him and he remembered his words. And Peter responded how? He went out and he wept. How did he weep? Ooh. You know why? Because there's deep sorrow in the heart. This is so important. I don't even have time enough now to even really talk about it. But it's very important. Humility overcame him now. He's filled with humility. There's no pride left, is there? All the pride is gone out of his heart. That's important. And humility filled his heart. He didn't try just to turn over a new life. Hey, you know, some people think, boy, I did. He looked at, boy, I did wrong, didn't I? I did wrong. I'm going to have to turn over a new leaf. No, sir, that won't happen. You're still trying to serve Lord in the flesh. You're not learning the lesson. Because there first must be a genuine repentance, a genuine sorrow. A repentance that leads to a godly sorrow, the Bible says. Not like Judas. Judas was sorry, and we'll see that later. He was sorry for his sin, but he didn't have this type of sorrow in his heart. Judas' sorrow led to death. Peter's sorrow led to life. Many will weep only because I got caught. They weep because of the sin. Oh, she's leaving me now. They weep because of what their sin has done to them and nothing more. They weep because of what's happened to them. No, sir, that's not the sorrow that we're looking for. We're looking for a genuine sorrow towards the Lord. He was sorry for what has happened. He was sorry for how he has responded to his Lord and Savior. So we see Peter's rejection, his repentance, and then just for a moment, Peter's restoration. And it's an example, and I'm glad that God will receive any of us no matter what we've done. And we see here in John chapter 21, when Jesus comes and talks to Peter on the shore, and then he forgives Peter, and he forgave Peter right when the weeping began. But Peter is restored later as the Lord speaks to him on that shore. We may get to that point at some time. But what I see, Peter denied how many times? Three. Three strikes, and you're what? Not with God. Three strikes, and still forgiven. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Peter's fall was great, but God's grace was greater. It always is. My sin can be so great, but His sacrifice for my sins is greater. And His blood can cover any sin. Now, here's the last thought I'll leave you with. Jesus knew who Peter was. Jesus knew he was just a ornery fisherman that was full of pride, a misfit, unlovable at times. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him three different times. And yet, God still chose Peter to do a work for him. Now, I want you to understand something. Make no mistake about it. You're created for this purpose. God has a work for you. You're to glorify God. That's your purpose. But He has a work for you. He has chosen you, for a specific task. And Jesus knows at times you're going to make mistakes. But Jesus knew something about Peter. He knew there was more to Peter than that, than what had just took place. There was more to Peter than what was happening on this night. And the Lord's going to use him in an amazing way. In fact, Peter becomes a great man of God. Days later, preaching and thousands are saved. His story has a good ending because God knew there was more to him than that. Now, I want you to understand, God has got a plan for you. And though you may have messed up 1,000 times, God's grace is greater than your sin. And if you will come to God and express your sorrow towards Him, He will restore you because He knows there's more to you than that. than what has taken place. You may be divorced. You could have been a homosexual, committed abortion, adultery, have a life of addiction. But God can forgive you because He knows there's more to you than that. I've seen that over and over again. Praise the Lord for it. Failure doesn't have to be final. That's all up to you. If you'll come to the Lord, He restores and He forgives. And then the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, in verse number 31, the last verses I'll read to you, the Bible says, let me find my place. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But listen to what he said. Because the Lord knew there was more to Peter than that. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you get your heart right, you get your life right, do this for me. And don't say do this for me. This is the last 3 weeks. Strengthen thy brethren. There's others that are going to have to learn this lesson. Would you help them? And Christian, there's something here that you're on the right path and you're doing well. Praise the Lord for that. We need you. You need to be a rooster to some of these others. We don't kick our own when they're down, do we? You're in the military and you're wounded on the battlefield. The medic doesn't come over there and suffocate you. No, they come over there to help you, to get you back on your feet. And Christian, you mature Christian, that's what you are there for. As one of your purposes, not to be critical. Did you hear what I said? It's not to be critical. You're there to help somebody. Peter, when you get right, would you help the brethren? They're going to need you. They're going to go through the same thing. Could you help them? Would you help them? And God commands us to do the same. So here we are at the very end. Why did Peter deny the Lord? The same reason most do. It all began with his pride. I'd never do that. Oh, you don't have to worry about me. I can do this or that. Oh, don't bother. I can pull around a little. I'll never forsake him. Pride says this. You can't handle it. The Bible says your pride, in your pride, you cannot handle it. Pride's going to cause you to fall. Peter had a great fall. He turned into someone he thought he never would be. That can happen to any of us because he was serving in the flesh. It's a lesson we have to learn. When you follow your pride, it'll soon lead to fear. It caused him to follow afar off, as the case with so many. Is that you? You love the Lord. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. But you're following afar off. Isn't it time for you to be right next to Him? Isn't it time you forsake all that sin and get right next to the Lord where you need to be? Would you stop sitting with sinners? Some are sitting with sinners. Your company ought to be other people in Christ. I mean, we're winning the world. We've got to be around family. But the people that you're hanging around ought to be other people that are Christians. Ought to be other people that can strengthen you and help you. Don't fool yourself. You can't handle it. Peter had a rooster. Praise the Lord for a rooster. Today I tried to be one for you. Don't kill the rooster. Don't kill him. Don't ignore it. Don't try to run from it. Don't try to change the subject. Would you face it head on? Are you somebody that needs to respond in repentance? You're going to respond in one way. Or in one of two ways. You're going to respond in pride. I don't care what anybody says. I'm doing my own thing. I'm okay. Or if you're doing those things you shouldn't be doing. Do I have to name them again? I don't think so. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. It's time to get right with God. You can't handle it. You're going down a steep path and you're soon it's going to lead to a great fall. How do you know that? The Bible tells you. Perhaps Jesus is looking at you just as he did Peter. When you feel that conviction, Lord's looking at you. Oh, respond correctly. Peter remembered the word of the Lord and he responded. He repented with weeping and he was restored. And became one of the greatest soldiers of the cross of all time. Don't be mean. God has something specific for you. It's a great, great path. He wants you to be a warrior for him. A soldier of the cross. And you can be. It's up to you if you respond the right way. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a time for you to respond.